We're going to continue on the topic of transformation today. It's such an important subject. I believe the church world has lost its focus on transformation and has misunderstood it. It's one of the reasons I think why the church has not been as powerful as it was in the book of Acts, because we've lost the idea of what transformation is. When I first started serving God, I was shared the promises of God. And it's a daunting task for a young believer to hear that we should be raising the dead, casting out devils, seeing the sick healed, the blind eyes open, deaf ears open. Because I ran ahead right away and started to practice those things. And to be honest, I had seen a few wonderful things happen, ministering to people, jumping into their life and saying, "Hey, let me pray for you." But eventually I started to hit what I call dead ends, unanswered questions. People that were sick that I couldn't get healed. Situations that I couldn't change in faith. And even though I tried with my whole heart and what I believed was with sincere motives, I still couldn't get past a dead end. Someone who came for prayer or I offered to pray for that I couldn't get healed. They couldn't receive their miracle. I remember being in Nicaragua one day, many years ago, and I was preaching in Managua, and they took me to a little church without walls. It was a real church without walls. It had a 2x4 up, and they hung a light off of it. And I was preaching, and at the end of the service, a little mama brought her baby to me, and it was a miracle service. We've seen miracles and people healed, and this little baby was placed in my arms with a fever, such a hot fever that I felt the heat through my clothes in the heat of Managua, Nicaragua. And I prayed and did every ounce of prayer, faith that I could squeeze out of my life to see that baby healed. I was determined to not put the baby back the same in the mother's arms. Because to be honest, at that moment, I represented Jesus. If it was Jesus was standing there, that baby would be healed. And I prayed with everything in me, and I still had to give the baby back to the mom the way she gave him to me. And I represented God. And I remember leaving that service and thinking and talking to God and saying, "God, I know it wasn't you that withheld your power. I know it's not the baby's fault. And it's not anyone's fault if they're battling sickness. But I know it's not the baby's position of faith is why you couldn't heal that baby. So the place where the faith was lacking was not from God, was not from the baby or the mama, because I represented Jesus that night. It was in me. And I remember saying, "God, I don't want to ever, how do I stop this? I don't ever want to go through this again where a baby that needs a miracle can't receive it. What is the problem? What am I doing? What do I need to do? Why could you not do what you wanted to do?" And that's when he told me, he said, "There was too much of Alan in the way." Well, I knew exactly what he was talking about. It wasn't sin, wasn't dirtiness. It was just too much of my own flesh. Too much of my life was revolving around Alan and not around God. And that's what kind of sent me down a mission of ministry, of preaching, to where I stopped focusing on so much on going and doing to accomplish things as much as growing up in the kingdom of God. And you might be surprised how much fight comes against the message of growing up spiritually. I was shocked through the years and been shocked about how people dismiss that and want to say, "Hey, we're complete in God. It's already done. Let's just go walk in it." And that's a good message in one point, that it's good for us to all be available to minister the love of God, the miracle power of God. I believe in that wholeheartedly. But the short-sightedness is that you go to where I was. You get busy doing things for God, but you come to a dead end. Someone that you can't get healed. Someone you can't get saved. A situation that can't just be fixed and changed. And that forces you to reach into a depth of God to say, "God, why can you not do what you want to do? You already paid the price for it. What is limiting you?" And when he shines the light, not on the devil, not on the person you're praying for, but on you, you're the one blocking the miracle, then you start to say, well, how do I get rid of that? And then you go down a path of spiritual growth. So everyone will get here and believe in spiritual growth when they come to their dead end. If you're not at your dead end yet, let me save you some time and share with you the importance of spiritual growth. And again, I'm always been kind of surprised how certain people resist this message of growing up, of spiritual growth, and focus on, let's go get busy for God. My simple answer for most people is, how are you going to preach the kingdom if you don't know the King? It's more important to know the King first, so then you can share his heart about the kingdom. Otherwise, you'll be trying to win the world, but you don't know where you're winning them to. So today, I want to let you be at peace with growing up spiritually. Because growing up spiritually does and can take time. And I know in our world, we want an instant fix. We want to microwave everything. We want to just say, let's just go do it. But when you realize that growth in anything, growth of a tree, growth of a plant, growth of a person, it takes time. It takes time doing the right things so you can grow up. But the value is that you can grow up into and through any problem, any situation you face. You don't have to be afraid of it because you can learn how to overcome everything. I'm going to start in 1 John today. And we're going to read verse 2, and I'm just going to read a few verses. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Here John writes, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forsaken you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. So I want you to see here in John's letter that he categorizes his church, his people, the people he's writing to. He categorizes them into three levels of maturity. He starts with little children, he mentions young men, and then he mentions fathers. And he breaks people up into those three categories. Now, when Chrissy and I gave birth to our son, Harrison, back in those days, you had to be in the room. I had to be in the room when she gave birth. I tried not to be in the room, but tried to pull the old, us men are going to be in the waiting room while you women go and bring me back a baby. But nowadays that doesn't work. Every woman in my life, my mom, my mother-in-law, our friends, my sisters, sister-in-law, everyone was forcing me, you're going to be in that room. Even women I don't know were giving me dirty looks because they suspected that I was trying not to be in the birthing room. Well, I was there when our son was first born. And I want you to understand, when a baby's born, the moment the umbilical cord is cut, that's the last moment that that baby receives nutrients from the mother. Up to that point, all the nutrients that that baby had to grow came from the mother. Of course, through nursing and different things, yes, but directly, all the DNA that we were able to put into our child was done the moment they were birthed. All the direct nutrients that came directly from the mother to the baby was severed when the umbilical cord was cut. So then, from that moment on, that baby is complete. That is a complete child, completely made, and now it just has to grow in maturity. It has to grow up. And that's much like you and I. When we were born again, we were complete in God, meaning that we're complete in God because we've received all the nature and all the nutrients from God directly. We're born again. We are complete in Him. We're not going to receive more new nature. The new nature is already complete in you. But now the growth that has to happen has to be maturity. And the maturity for a born-again believer only comes from the Spirit, from the mind of God. So here we see he classifies people as little children. And then he says, young man, because you overcome the wicked one. So this infers that maturity is also with holiness. That this young man, the young man were once who had overcome and start their own natural desires and began to walk in holiness, overcame the desires of the wicked one against them. And then fathers indicates a maturity where you can reproduce, and fathers are protectors and providers and the reproduction. And so here I want us to be very clear that when John writes his letter here, he's given them into three different categories. But the difference is the maturity of growth in them. And the church world needs to understand it's okay to grow up in God. We're in such a hurry that we run ahead sometimes trying to do good things for God with good motives, trying to please God. But if we don't grow up, we're always going to stay the same. And I want to free you up today. If you're in a season of growing, if you feel the Lord telling you, I want you to pray and seek Him. I don't want you to be busy out doing a bunch of stuff. I want you to take the time to grow up and mature in the knowledge of God. Then I want you to be free to know that's okay. You're not missing it. You're not wrong because you're not out busy doing things for the kingdom. Because God has something more specific for you that's going to require growth and maturity. I think that the church is missing that as a whole. Because we get so busy serving God, we can take away from the focus on growing up first and then doing what God tells us to do. I remember there was a season where God told me, I want you just to sit and pray and get to know me. And so I did for a couple of years. I didn't work. I didn't preach. God provided for us. But I just prayed and sought God. And I got a phone call from a well-meaning friend who said, hey, how's the ministry going? How are you doing? And I said, oh, we're doing good. Everything's going well. And they didn't know I was in a season of just praying and seeking God. It lasted a couple of years. And they said, well, how's the preaching going? When's your next preaching assignment? I said, well, nothing scheduled right now. I have a wedding I'm going to perform here in a few months. But that's about it. Well, when's the last time you preached? Well, it's been a few months since I preached. And so they were trying to classify me or find in me basically my activity level for the kingdom of God. And when they found out I wasn't preaching, they were puzzled because that's what I'm called to do. And they said, well, you're not preaching. How many souls have you saved? How many people have you witnessed to? And see, I was in a season of prayer and growing up spiritually that required so much focus from God. He put me in this that I had to not get busy because I can get sidetracked. Busyness is easier than growing up. Ask any kid who needs to sit down and go through school. And what would they rather do, be busy or sitting in class growing in knowledge? Well, I was in that season that God placed me in, and it puzzled many people around me because I have been brought up in such a busy type of Christianity that our activity level defined our walk with God, not our maturity level, our activity level. But as you find out, you can get busy for God and stop growing. You can do both. You can serve God and grow. But if you lose focus and stop growing, you're stuck there at that level of maturity and you limit what God can do in you, do through you. Let's look over here in Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, I'll start in verse 40. This is talking about Jesus. Luke 2, verse 40. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So I want you to truly understand Jesus had to grow and had to mature. And it says here he became strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom. See, if you have to be filled, it means it wasn't there in the first place. Jesus had to grow and be filled with wisdom and in the grace of God which was upon him. In verse 52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and men." So even Jesus, we're talking about the Son of God, had to grow in wisdom, understanding, in stature, in favor. He had to increase because that is growth, that is the maturing. Jesus himself, the Son of God, had to go through the same process that you and I have to go through once we're born again, and that is growing up in the things of God. Let's look at another verse here in Ephesians chapter 4. I think the focus today is to prove to you that there is a growing up that's very important in your life, in your spiritual walk. And that it's okay to focus on that, especially if the Lord directs you that way, and not just get busy. We will be busy. You will be busy serving God. You'll be unstoppable and busy doing exactly what God wants you to do. But there's a line you have to accept, that I have to let God tell me what to do, more so than me just go do it in the name of God. That's the line I had to go through and had to accept, that growing up and maturing in the things of God is equally as important or more important than just doing the things of God. Because like I said, many of us started out doing good works, praying for people, witnessing, until we came to a dead end. We came to a spot where we didn't have the answer. We found out it wasn't God. We were the ones limiting God. So God, how do I not limit you? And then you come to a decision where he'll say, I want you to take some time and I want you to grow up in the knowledge of who you are. So then you could do more and God could do more through you. Too many believers are not taking the time to grow up. They're just taking the time to be busy. And I want to let you know, if you're in a season of growing up spiritually, maturing spiritually, learning and growing in the wisdom of God, you're not wrong, and it's okay. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 14 and 15. That we shall no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So we see here that one of the reasons why believers are tossed to and fro, they're searching a new answer. You know, they're always looking for a new answer. They're looking for a minister to lay hands on them so they'll be gifted a special anointing. They're pursuing different groups, different conferences, and all that's wonderful. But the danger is you can be looking and being tossed to and fro by different doctrines, different pathways into God. And the reason is because of immaturity. That's why they're a child. That's why they're able to be tossed. If you're a child in spiritual growth, you're going to be tossed around by all kinds of things. The answer to not being tossed around, to not flailing in life, to not just trying this and trying that and trying this and experimenting in that, is to grow up in the things of God. That we shall no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickier man in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things. So there is a growth that God wants in us in our life, but it's maturity. Let's look over here in 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll start in verse 17 and verse 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So again, I'm focusing on the word grow. There is a maturing, a growth, and it tells us how we grow here. We grow in the grace and in the knowledge of God. So if you want to stop living in the same cycle, the same going around the same mountain, because I see many believers, they go around going around the mountain. They're at a certain level of walking with God, and they live there, and they serve God there. And they go around the mountain, and then they're encouraged to keep going. Rather than go up and grow up, they stay right there being busy their whole life. And God's pleased with anything we do for God. But let's be clear, God has a specific calling for you, a specific ministry to for you that's only going to come when you and I mature in the things of God. And the maturity, the growing in the knowledge of God, is really how we protect ourselves from falling and failing and staying stagnant. I'm going to give you another verse here in Hebrews chapter 5. The rebuke in Hebrews is for them because they're being fearful of persecution. And I'm going to read, start in verse 12, 13, and 14. For though that by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. That's verse 12 of chapter 5. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He is a babe. So let's look here that you're a babe. A babe is like an infant because you haven't grown up in the milk, in the word of God. Now, think about that. The way you grow up is by the milk and the word of God, by receiving it and feeding your inner man the spiritual truths, the knowledge, spiritual knowledge. That's how you grow up in God. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. So the ability to really understand the truth of who God is only comes to those who are of full age. So whether you're 80 years old when you got born again or you're 10 years old, there is a growing up that's important in the spirit that comes from spiritual truth, spiritual knowledge being input into your inner man. And when that inner man receives that knowledge, that is how you grow in knowledge, because it came from the spiritual world, not from the natural world. It's not only characteristics of good and maturity, what in the world we call maturity. It is growing in the knowledge of God from spiritual truths. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So spiritual growth then is defined right here as you feed yourself spiritual truths, not moral truths. Moral truths, you can take a man in the world from the world who's not born again, who's very moral, who lives right, who lives holy, doesn't mess around with his on his spouse and is faithful and works a job, doesn't lie on their taxes. And still, all of that was built out of the natural knowledge, natural man. But there's spiritual truths that are available by praying in tongues and meditating the Word of God that will bring spiritual knowledge to your inner man, causing you to learn more. And from that knowledge that you've learned, that you've grown in, you're able to exercise the truth of what you learned. But if you don't gain that knowledge, you're not going to grow. So the way we grow in Scripture is we obtain spiritual knowledge through the milk of the Word, through praying in tongues. We build up that knowledge of the inner man. And from that knowledge, we're able to confront the outward man and make it bow its knee to who we are. That's the exercising. Here it talks about to discern both good and evil, that you are now able to not follow sin or to not fall into wrong things and wrong thinking, because your inner man is grown up enough that you're able to confront the outward man. Now, I'm going to pause here, because the moment you're saved, you are free from sin. You're not going to receive more freedom from salvation. Salvation sets you free from sin. So now the exercising of the holiness is the practice of growing up in learning who you are. You start fighting against desires of the flesh the moment you're saved. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So in Hebrews 5, it is really proven to us that we need to dive into the Word of God, to grow, to take the knowledge of the Word of God, to bring it into our inner man. See, the inner man only eats spiritual truth. It only wants milk. It doesn't want cow's milk. It wants milk from the Word of God. And it wants solid food, truth that comes from the Word of God. So the reason it uses the word babe or infant here is to indicate a level of maturity, of spiritual maturity, not so much of your age or your moral maturity. Because moral character can be taught and trained without someone ever being saved. So it does reflect some of that, but that's not real spiritual growth. Real spiritual growth is taking the knowledge of the spiritual of God and putting it into our inner man, because you're not born again fully loaded with the truth of God. You're not born again as a baby on the inside fully complete with the knowledge of God. You have to grow in the knowledge of God. You have to learn and take the time and the effort to focus on that, to know the King and His heart before you should be out busy doing the kingdom work. And unfortunately, I think many in the church world today are so busy trying to build churches, and they're trying to do a good work, and God is pleased with every work that preaches Jesus. But they've lost the focus and the freedom to take the time to grow up spiritually. And so there's many out there who belittle the practice of praying in tongues, of spending time focusing on the Word. And they use the same language that was used on me. How many people are you witnessing to? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? You should be doing something. You should be actively doing something. And I agree to one extent. I think all of us should be available at all times to minister everything of God. But if we make that our life, our lifestyle is just serving and busy and ministering, you can find out that you won't grow much. You'll be busy for God and you'll feel good, but you won't grow. And therefore, you're limited in what God can do through you for the rest of your life. Let's go to another verse here over in 1 Peter. I remember the vision God gave me one time of the church, and I saw about 500 young kids running around in the sanctuary, running around, playing, having fun, like kids do, about 5 years old, running around. And all of a sudden, a computer showed up in the middle of them. And I heard a voice over the intercom saying, "Send an email." And all 500 kids descended upon the computer and began to push the buttons and pull it. They didn't know how to send the email. And they were destroying the computer. And they were trying, but they were fighting over who and what to do. And they did not know. And then a grown-up person walked through the kids, walked over to the computer in this vision, and pushed one button and sent the email. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "I can do more through one mature believer than I can do through 500 immature believers." And I guess that's why I want to do this video in the context of transformation, because transformation means spiritual growth and growing in the new man that you are. You're not less complete. You're still complete, completely of God, because you're born again. You have His nature. It's complete. You don't receive more nature. The nature doesn't grow. It doesn't mature. The nature is a nature. It's complete. Inside of your new nature is a perfect image of Christ. And now you must grow and bring forward the fruit of that and bring that image forward into your life. Holiness, love from God, peace that comes from God, not from the natural world. And I think that so many believers are trapped in busyness, that they lost hope for anything to change because they've been so busy. I'm talking about my own life in the past. I was so busy serving God that I hit my dead ends, my limitations. I can only see this type of miracle. I can only see this type of answer. And we cried out and prayed, and God, please change this. Please do this. We confessed, and we saw some change, but basically we were stuck at that level of maturity in serving God. And what happens is if you lose hope in growing, you start to accept this is where I'm at. So you start to arrange things in that place. This is the type of ministry we can do. This is the type of miracles we can see. We can't see deeper miracles. And so you begin to accept a lower standard of the gospel because you're tired of trying and believing for something that just never seems to come to pass. The problem lies with our spiritual growth. The answer to see more of God is not to cry out for more of Him. God, please send more. Send revival. That's not the answer because God's already completed everything. Jesus has already fully paid the price for revival. What's limiting God from doing what He wants to do is the same thing when I prayed over that little baby and He said, there's too much of Alan in the way. I had to grow up spiritually so I could mortify Alan in my life. And it wasn't sin. It wasn't anything horrible, but it was just the busyness of life and feeding Alan's ego rather than growing up the new man that I had become. Jesus had to grow. You have to grow. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So here again, now Peter, we've seen John classify people as children. And now here Peter is talking about babes. You're a babe. You're a newborn babe. Paul says it. Hold your finger here and look over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. This is verse 1, chapter 3. So Peter did it, John did it, Paul did it, the writer of Hebrews did it, talks about being a babe. And the reason this is so important, and I'm dancing around a little bit trying to just show you a shotgun version where we hit all the speakers, teachers in the Bible, that they all saw immaturity and maturity. They all saw different levels of maturity in your growth with God. The word newborn babes means that that's how you're born again, like a newborn babe. You never tasted life until the moment you were born again. That's the first taste of truth, of life, of love, of light that you ever had because you were born into existence as a child of God. Now you are a baby. And the imagery is very simple. You're a baby. You don't know anything. You need help. You need to grow. And how do we grow? Well, He tells us here, by the desire of the pure milk of the Word of God. In Hebrews, the same thing we saw. That growth in the Spirit is not experiencing more of God. You don't get growth from a church service. You don't get growth from someone laying hands on you, from the anointing. You don't get growth from any of that. Those are good experiences, and they're there to encourage you to keep growing. But growth is very practical. It's like feeding a baby, and that's why it uses this word in Scripture, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. So the growth here is by desiring and drinking like a baby. Now, it's interesting because, you know, being a Canadian mountain boy, when I read drink milk, I thought, yeah, get a big old glass of white cow's milk and right out of the fridge, and oh, it tastes so good. He's not talking about that. He's talking as a newborn baby, the way that a newborn baby, soon after it's born, now it's not connected to the mother. It needs to eat. It needs to get nutrients in it. I remember when Chris and I had Harrison. He was our firstborn, of course, and so we were extra careful, extra cautious, and we were determined we were going to nurse him for at least 6 months. or Christy was going to nurse him for at least 6 months. I remember visiting Christy's mom's church in Tennessee, and Christy's grandma was there, Meemaw. And Meemaw is kind of like an old school type grandma. So she was wondering, like, when can I feed this baby? Well, we're just nursing him. Only milk from the mother. Well, this baby needs some biscuits and gravy. It needs some nutrients. You know, so Tennessean. And we were determined, no, we're going to nurse this baby first. And so we nursed him for a while. So all of his nutrients and growth that came to him came from nursing from the mother. It didn't come automatically. If he didn't eat or drink, he wouldn't grow. That's like your inner man. It must grow, and you have to eat and drink the Word of God. And where do we get the truth of the Word of God? Like a nursing baby receives from its mother, we should be receiving from the Holy Spirit. And allow Him to feed us, to nourish us, so we will grow. Too many believers are not growing. They're spending too much time serving and being busy and building the kingdom of God. It's all good, but it's limiting, because you will come to a dead end, a limit of what God can do through you in your life. And you will be told, you might be told, well, you just need to believe. And I swam in that swimming pool of believing. I just got to believe more. And I try, God, I'm believing, I'm trying. And nothing changed, because the believing wasn't effort. It wasn't focus. It wasn't lack of boldness. I just have to be bold and believe. I tried everything to try to believe more. The believing had to come from growing in the knowledge of God. It had to come from spending time with the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, growing up, maturing. And then the way that growth is labeled from Hebrews is, I learned from the Holy Ghost and from the Word of God how I should act and how I should live. I learn who I am from the Word of God. And I have to grow up in that, meaning I fill my inner man with the Spirit, with the knowledge of God. And then from that stand, I exercise that truth into my life. And I force the outward man to bow down to the truth that I have built in me, that I've grown in me. It's not automatic. Just like a newborn baby has to grow. My son Harrison just turned 16 years old. And he is excited as can be, because here in Oklahoma, you can start to drive and practice driving at 16. His whole life, since he's been like 10, he's ready to drive. I want to drive, Dad. I can drive. I know how to drive. I do good on the go-karts. And son, you cannot drive. You're not mature enough yet. He may have been able to drive certain things, but not mature enough. And that's like many believers. I see exactly the same. God, we're ready for revival. I want revival. I want to see a move of God. I'm ready to go win the world, win the city. And they get busy trying to do something that only God could do through them. But God can't do it through them until they grow up in the knowledge of God and in the wisdom of God. I'm going to go quickly over to Jude. And we'll add to this. We're going to read here verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Famous verse, Jude 20. You, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. The building up here is not like blowing up a balloon, making it big, and then you let go and all the air lets out. It's not like charging a battery, where you charge a battery and then you use up the charge and then you have to recharge it. The building up here is a building block, like a brick, like you're building a brick house. Once you lay a level of bricks, you don't ever have to lay it again. You lay on top of that, you build like a building. And that's what it's saying here, you beloved, building yourselves up. So here's another imagery that Jude uses, that we must build up after we're born again. We must build up, and the building is the knowledge of God. And here he says the source of that knowledge from him is by praying in the Holy Spirit. You wonder why I talk so much about praying in tongues, meditating the word, and worship? Because these are spiritual activities that cause you to grow up and mature in God. I found when I ran a Bible college for Norval Hayes for many years that I became kind of like a policeman over a lot of the students. Like, you need to act this way, you need to dress this way, you need to behave this way. And I would police them, and that was part of my job. They paid to come to Bible college to become preachers, to learn how to become men and women of God, and so I was keeping them accountable. But I found that many people, when you police them in your presence, they act good, but if they don't want to, when you're not there, they'll act however they want to act. That people always go back to where they live in their heart, that they can perform for a season, they can act good for a season, but eventually they end up, when their guard's down, when they're tired, when they don't want to, they end up going right back to where they were. And all the policing did not help people to grow. It just helped them to act better when I was in the room. And again, that's why I feel so important to talk about growing up. Because if I can get you to grow up in God, I don't have to police you. Because you will grow up to where you will begin to act right and live right and walk in holiness. But if I police you, then you will perform as long as I'm there watching you. But then you'll stop when you're tired of performing. So spiritual growth, growing up. So we read here in Jude that by praying in tongues we grow up. We read in Hebrews and in 1 Peter how the Word of God helps you to grow up. If you just stay the same and stay busy, you limit God to what He can do through you. And this is why I think the church really, if I were to give the model of the general church world today, it would be, what can we do for God? But really the question we should be asking, how can we let God do through us what He wants to do? And the answer to that question is grow up in Him. Let Him help you to grow up and mature in the things of God. And let's not be so focused on busyness and activities as much as what's going to cause us to be different tomorrow than we are today. What's going to cause us to be different 10 years from now than we are today. And that is a focus on spiritual growth. Take the time and be free to focus on growth. If you want to be busy, I think that's great. Go do it. If you come to a dead end, limitations, then you may be curious about how do I get past this limitations? How do I see God move the way the Word says He's to move? The answer is to grow up spiritually. And why this is so important in the area of transformation? Because we grow up in our inner man. We grow up spiritually in the knowledge of truth that only the inner man can understand and grow in. My classic example, the two men that come to church to get saved. One's a doctor, looks sharp, he's well-dressed, he's clean, he's wealthy. And the other is a homeless guy that they brought to church. They both get saved. Do you know that the homeless guy starts at the same place that the doctor does? The doctor is no more spiritually grown than the homeless guy. He has no more spiritual knowledge than the homeless guy. They both start at the same place as newborn babes. Now, if the homeless guy prays in the Holy Ghost, he will grow. He will build the knowledge of truth inside of him and begin to grow the inner man up in the knowledge of God. If the wealthy, successful doctor who's now born again doesn't spend time praying in tongues and doesn't spend time in the Word, he will continue to live his life in success, but not because of spiritual growth. It'll all be in the natural. So all spiritual growth comes only from the Word of God, which is spiritual, praying in tongues, which is spiritual. And what it does is when you do these things, when you worship God privately, the truth of God, the knowledge of God comes into your inner man, causing you to know more of who you are. Therefore, you can walk in it and begin to enforce it on the outward man. That is growth. Growth isn't just knowledge. Growth is being able to walk in that knowledge. and to express that knowledge and make the outward man submit to the inward man. But if we don't grow, if we just stay busy, that's the danger I was in. Just being busy. Serving God, yes. Loving God, yes. Experiencing God, yes. But not growing in God. Thank the Lord I discovered the message of worship, the message of praying in the Holy Ghost, the message of meditating the Word of God, because it has caused me to grow up in things and then be able to confront areas of my life that God is saying is limiting me from walking in all that He has for me. It's through spiritual growth. And transformation is that. That is spiritual growth. You're growing in the new man that you are, the new person. See, one day, the Lord Terry, your natural body will fall off of you. The natural part of your mind, will, and emotions will fall off of you. And you will be just like Jesus. You'll be standing there just like Him in righteousness, because you are all the new man. But now we must take of the image of Christ and bring forward those truths so we can grow up in the knowledge of God. We can grow up now. We don't have to wait till heaven to learn things. We can learn it now. There's so many verses I want to go to. I'm trying to not overdo it today. I want you to be free to take the time to grow. And I'm saying that over and over because now I wasn't raised in church, so I didn't know much about churchy religious stuff. But I found in me a passion to serve God. And I found a ministry that I started in, which is very kind and very wonderful, but they were very busy in serving God. And I found myself busy trying to win the world. And it fed me, it made me feel like I was worthy of some things. The Lord got hold of me and started to help me to grow in Him. I felt guilty, like I'm missing something. I'm letting God down because I'm not out knocking on doors, praying for the sick. I'm not out doing this and that, trying to build the church or build the kingdom. And God had to help me get free enough from that busyness of religion to simply say, I need you to do what I ask you to do. It's okay to grow up because I can do more through a mature believer than I can through 500 immature believers. So I want to encourage you today, and I'm going to pray for you, that if you're like me and you feel that unction to go grow in God, spend time prayer and worshiping, spend time in the Word of God, that's healthy. That's the healthiest thing you can do. God will get you busy. Don't worry. Whatever you give up in trying to grow, He'll make it back. Don't worry. He'll keep you busy as a mature believer in God. But that maturity has to come by gaining the knowledge of the Spirit through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and by enforcing that on the outward man. That is growth. That is maturity. Inner man, outward man. Transformation. So let's pray. Father, I thank You that every shackle of busyness in our life, every shackle that holds us to trying to perform for You, trying to be busy for You, that's outside of Your will, I thank You that shackle is being broken right now, that we will feel at peace and free to go into You and to grow up in You without feeling guilty like we're letting You down. So, Father, I thank You right now in Jesus' name for Your grace and Your love. You love my friends so much that Your grace is on them right now where they're at, to free them up, to be safe, to follow You, to hear from You, to be led by You, and to grow up in You. Father, I thank You for that grace right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I appreciate you spending time with me. Keep going, keep growing, keep spending time in the Word, keep spending time praying, and watch what God does for you in the future. Watch what He'll be able to do through you instead of you doing for Him. God bless you. Thank you. See you soon.